Well, good morning. Thankful for the privilege to do this again this morning. Looks like we're heading into a new era in the life of our church over the next handful of weeks. So, Lord willing, we'll be back together soon. But until then, hopefully you continue to be encouraged by this format and by at least the truth of the Word coming to you in this unique way. We've been in this study, the fruit of the Spirit, and we've covered love, joy, peace, and last week we covered patience, so this week we will cover kindness. But as we get geared up to look at this fruit more in depth, I hope that you took the words that were spoken to you last week to heart concerning the fruit of patience. You know, I was reminded again just in the last 24 to 48 hours how important patience is. And I'm grateful for the Lord continuing to work in my life, even though, you know, I don't respond perfectly. I'm grateful that I'm being exposed more and more and more in my impatience, and He's showing that to me and giving me opportunities to grow in patience. I hope that's true for you. I hope that you're looking at the opportunities that God has given you in this unique time in your life to exhibit that patience, because God is so patient with us. And He has instilled patience in you through His Spirit. And so I pray, I hope that you are cultivating that through the opportunities that you have at home right now. But as I said, this morning I want us to look at kindness. Kindness. Kindness is the quality of being helpful or beneficial. This word is connected to the tender concern for others. This is a genuine desire to treat others gently as the Lord does. This is connected also with compassion. This idea of kindness is a gentle disposition that treats others as God has treated you. Kindness in itself carries with it also a tone of patience and a peaceful approach. It carries with it love as you approach others to deal with them kindly. Kindness is something that desperately needs to be exhibited in the life of the church. As people care for one another, as people see the needs that others have and they seek to meet those needs, kindness needs to be exhibited as we go out into the world and go about our different duties and responsibilities and come in contact with those who desperately just need to see kindness exhibited. I am convinced that most people don't conduct their lives in a kind manner. And what I mean by that is that they don't see it as something that needs to be worked on in their own approach to other people, and they don't care if others are kind to them. It seems like it's somewhat lost on our society, and unfortunately at times it's somewhat lost on the church. But we are to have a tender concern for others. We are to seek to be a help and to be a benefit to others. Philippians 2 says that we are to put others ahead of ourselves. We are to think of others ahead of ourselves. We are to be compassionate to those who desperately need compassion. This is exemplified in a mother who kindly cares for her child. As that child is born and she begins to nurture that child, and certainly in the early years spends a lot of time with that child and just treats them so kindly. Loves them by caring for their needs, being there to serve them and to minister to them. It's a selfless kindness, so to speak, as so often their own needs are put to the back burner so that they can care for the needs of their child and be tender towards them and compassionate towards them because they're so helpless and they need so much help. That is an example of kindness. Kindness is also exemplified by those who care for and work with the elderly and the disabled. As they give up perhaps what they would want to be doing with their time, and they commit their time to being a benefit, to being a help to others, and to care tenderly for those who cannot help themselves. And as we've gone through this crisis, there have been many doctors and nurses who have been spending so many hours caring for people, exhibiting kindness to people. It was a privilege to be a part of what our church was able to do yesterday and even this morning in taking 5,500 orchids to area hospitals to give to all of the nurses who have been working selflessly over the last couple of months. And we've already gotten some response back, and they're just overwhelmed that we would acknowledge their kindness. But the fact of the matter is they are giving selflessly to help those who can't help themselves in this situation. Kindness is exemplified by giving up your day off or some time off to help a neighbor with a project or something that they need. There's always an element of sacrifice that is connected with kindness as you demonstrate that kindness to others, that care and that concern, that help, that benefit. Kindness is exhibited when you help someone change their flat tire on the side of the road. Even the world recognizes kindness. They call it random acts of kindness. You've seen that on the TV before, as news channels talk about that, or they do commercials that talk about that. Random acts of kindness, paying it forward, so to speak, being kind, they recognize that. And if the world recognizes that, how much more should genuine biblical kindness be exhibited in the life of a believer who's been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ and indwelled by the all-powerful Holy Spirit of God? Friends, you and I should be very, very kind people. We should always be looking for the opportunity to benefit and to help another person. We should always be looking for an opportunity to show tender concern for those whom God has put in our sphere of influence. We should always be looking to show concern and compassion to those who are helpless and who need it. Kindness should be our disposition. It should be our attitude. It should be our actions. It should be our very heart, because kindness is at the very heart of God. And as we think about kindness, we can think about all those examples that we talked about that we can find in the world, but ultimately, the ultimate example of kindness is found in our triune God. It is exemplified certainly in the life and the ministry of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 19, we see that Jesus demonstrates kindness to children. Verse 13, then some children were brought to him so that he might lay his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. What happened? But Jesus said, let the children alone and do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. After laying his hands on them, he departed from there. Children were looked down upon in that society. Favor was given to those who were adults. There was privilege granted to adults. They were looked highly upon. But children were looked down upon, as were women, parts of the society. And Jesus throws all of that stereotypical nonsense aside, and he demonstrates kindness to, in some sense, the least of these. He demonstrated kindness to children, even though his disciples had an issue with it. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus is talking about a sinner. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus expresses kindness to the humble, repentant sinner. Rest. Kindness. A light burden for those who humbly acknowledge their sin and come to Christ. That is an expression of the kindness of Christ. Then in Luke chapter 9, a day in the life of our Lord, Jesus has the opportunity to demonstrate kindness to a very large crowd. Luke 9, verse 12, now the day was ending, and the 12 came and said to him, send the crowd away, that they may go into the surrounding villages and countryside and find lodging and get something to eat, for here we are in a desolate place. Notice Jesus' response. It says, but he said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless perhaps we go and buy food for all of the people. For there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. And they did so, and they all sat down. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and broke them and kept giving them to the disciples to set before the people. And they ate and were satisfied. And the broken pieces which they had left over were picked up 12 baskets full. In the corresponding account in Mark, it talks about the fact that Jesus had compassion on the crowds. His disciples said, Lord, there's nowhere for them to buy food. There's nowhere for them to eat. And Jesus says, you give them something to eat. Because he was about to demonstrate who he was. He was about to put his glory on display for his disciples to see. Even though we know from John chapter 6 that many of these people who Jesus fed on the hillside that day ended up walking away from Jesus after his hard sayings, after telling them that it's not just about the physical sustenance that I can give you, it is about the eternal life that I can give you, and you must eat my flesh and drink my blood, meaning that they must come to him alone for salvation. And they did not like those hard sayings. And the end of John chapter 6 is a very difficult text, as it says, and many walked away from him that day, stopped following him. But even though, as the omniscient one, Jesus knew that would happen, on the hillside that day, he saw these people who he had been healing, who he had been teaching, and he knew they were weary, and he wanted to benefit them. He wanted to be kind to them, because that is his heart. Kindness is at the very heart of Christ. And so he takes the little food that there is, and he performs an amazing miracle and puts his glory on display, and in that demonstrates kindness to these people who most would later walk away from him. Why? Because God is kind. God gets accused of a lot of things. He gets accused of being unjust and not gracious, too harsh. But the fact of the matter is, friends, God is kind. He's kind, and that was demonstrated in the life and the ministry of Jesus. Then in Mark chapter 1, Jesus encounters a leper. Mark chapter 1, verse 40, it says, and this is after he had been in the synagogues preaching and casting out demons. Verse 40, and a leper came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now look at the words in verse 41. Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. Jesus had a heart of compassion to those he was ministering to. Friends, we are Christ followers. Christians, little Christ, so to speak. We are those who follow Jesus. We are disciples of Jesus. And if Jesus was kind in his dealings with people, we are to be kind in our dealings with people. Luke chapter 7 is one of my favorite passages that puts the kindness of Jesus on display. Because we can really connect with this lady in some sense, her loss and her grieving. It says in verse 11 of Luke 7, soon afterwards he went to a city called Nain, and his disciples were going along with him, accompanied by a large crowd. Now as he approached the gate of the city, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a sizable crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her, and he said to her, do not weep. And he came up and he touched the coffin. And the bearers came to a halt, and he said, young men, I say to you, arise. And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Fear gripped them all, and they began glorifying God, saying, a great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people. And this report concerning him went through all of Judea and in all the surrounding district. I love the response of Jesus. You remember where he was going, right? The centurion had come and asked him to come and to heal his daughter. And Jesus had just accomplished that. And so then he was coming back and he was going through this city. And there was a funeral procession that was taking place. This woman, all she had was her son. Her husband had died. She had no other children. All she had was this son. And he had died. Friend, you can imagine the mourning that has taken place. Chances are good that you've lost somebody close to you in your lifetime. And if you haven't, chances are good that you will at one point, because we live in a sin-cursed world and death is inevitable. But you know the feeling of this woman, at least in some sense, don't you? That person that you love, that you cared for, now they're gone. Your life revolved around them. Now they're no more. That was this woman, and hers were more extreme circumstances than probably any of us have ever had to deal with. And this was the last person in her family that was alive, and now he was dead. course she was weeping. Of course she was mourning. She was overwhelmed with grief. But notice the response of our kind Savior. It says that when the Lord saw her, He felt compassion for her. Because you see, in the person of Christ, He is the God-man. And He has emotions. And He understands the pain that we go through. In fact, Hebrews tells us that He is our high priest and He sympathizes with our weaknesses. Friends, He was sympathizing with this woman in her greatest weakness, in her greatest pain that she had ever experienced in her life. And what did He do? He did something. He did whatever He could. Now, certainly we can't respond like Jesus did. We don't have the power to raise somebody from the dead. That is not a gift that we have. But Jesus, being the all-powerful Son of the living God, had the authority over this boy's life. And He tells him, "Young man, I say to you, arise." Verse 15 tells us that the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. The kindness of Jesus in this situation with this woman who had just lost everything. He gave her back her son. The kindness of Christ put on display here in this text. But not only is the second person of the Godhead, Jesus, our ultimate exemplification of kindness, it's also seen in God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 4, in chapter 2, verse 4, rather, a text that we actually looked at last week, Paul says, "Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance?" It is the kindness of God that leads a person to repentance. It is the kindness of God that tolerates you. It is the kindness of God that tolerated me. Instead of striking us dead, which He could do as the all-powerful God of this universe, and instead of allowing us to stay in our sin and continue down a path of destruction leading ultimately to hell, eternal separation from God, in His kindness, He has led us to repentance. Friend, you have experienced the kindness of God in bringing you to that point where you understood that you were a sinner, where you understood that you must turn from that sin and turn to Christ as your only hope. And if you're listening to this, you're watching this, and you are not in Christ, then understand that you are experiencing the kindness of God even in this moment as you breathe and you live on this planet. Every moment of breath that you are given life on this earth is an expression of the kindness of God enabling you to come to repentance. But not only we see that in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, but also in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, as Paul is explaining to the Ephesians that salvation is of God alone. It's by God, it's for God. It benefits us. In verse 4 of chapter 2, it says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." God's salvation to you and to me and to every believer on this planet is an expression of His kindness. is God caring for, benefiting those who are helpless, those who are dead spiritually. He is granting them life in kindness. And not only will this kindness, is this kindness experienced at conversion as you come to Christ and you experience the kindness of God and the forgiveness of your sin and granting you eternal life, but this kindness will be experienced for all of eternity. You will experience the kindness of God on into the eternal state forever and ever and ever and ever. And friend, you are experiencing the kindness of God now. The steadfast love, the expressions of the steadfast love of the Lord, Lamentations 3 tells us, are new every morning. And so you are continually experiencing the kindness of God to you as a result of Him demonstrating His kindness to you ultimately in Christ. He has treated you gently. He has treated you with mercy. He has treated you with compassion. In your helpless state, God has been kind to you. We also see this in Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. As Paul tells Titus, "But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us." His salvation is connected with His kindness. His kindness was the sending of Christ for us. Because before this we were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us. It's in His kindness that He saved us. He has benefited us. And so as we think about the ultimate example of kindness that we see in the Scriptures, which is the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we have to ask this question then for our lives, and that is this: how does the Holy Spirit then manifest kindness in our lives? This fruit of kindness that has been demonstrated to us and we have experienced as those who are children of God, how then does this kindness manifest itself in our lives? How does the Spirit produce it? What does it look like? Six things I'll give to you quickly. First of all, the first way that the Spirit manifests kindness in our lives is He causes it to come out in our whole person. He causes it to come out in our whole person. What I mean by that is you can't compartmentalize kindness. If your kindness is hypocritical, that you just pull it out once in a while to get what you want, or when someone is watching, then that's not the kindness of the Spirit. The kindness that is produced by the Spirit, it affects the whole person. It affects your disposition, how you look, how you are perceived by others, how you put yourself out there. It affects your mannerisms, how you respond to people, how you talk to people, how you care for people. It manifests itself in your actions, how you treat others. It manifests itself in the words that you say to other people, in how you say and what you say. It matters. A person in whom the Spirit is producing the fruit of kindness in is going to demonstrate kindness in their entire person. You can't compartmentalize kindness. You can't put it in one corner of your life and be unkind and then just take it out and use it in these other ways. That's not Spirit-produced kindness. Kindness affects the entire person. But not only does kindness come out in our whole person, the Spirit manifests kindness in how it comes out in our homes with our spouse, for those who have a spouse and for those who have children and for those in your circumstance who have siblings and who have parents. This is a place in our homes where people know us better than anybody else. They know if your kindness is hypocritical. This is an opportunity for you to demonstrate Spirit-produced kindness in your relationships with those closest to you. And if you are able to do that, that is the Spirit producing that kindness in you. If you're walking in the Spirit, not gratifying the desires of the sinful nature, if you are being filled with the Word of God and therefore being filled with the Spirit of God, and you are going to walk in obedience to Christ, and the Spirit is going to produce this in you, is going to come out in the way that you interact at home. In Matthew 7, Jesus says, "What man among you is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way that you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets." It's the golden rule, right? That you treat others as you want to be treated, and you want to be treated kindly. You want someone to deal with you kindly in how they look at you and how they speak to you and how they act towards you. Therefore, you do that to others. And when that's happening, that's a product of the Spirit producing kindness in your life. It comes out in your attitudes and your actions. But thirdly, the Spirit manifests kindness in our lives through our generosity to others. Our generosity toward others. Are you one who takes advantage of helping those who have needs? You are looking for opportunities to help, to minister to people. You are looking for opportunities to benefit another human being, to be tender towards them, to be compassionate towards them, to help them in whatever way you can, with whatever resources you have. That is a manifestation of Spirit-produced kindness in your life. Generosity towards others. Fourthly, the Spirit manifests kindness in our relationships with God's people. Our relationships with God's people. We think about our relationship with the church, with our church as a whole, with our church in our college group, and with the people in our small groups. Every aspect of church that we're involved in is to be marked by kindness. Every relationship that we have. This is how God's people are to treat one another. We are to treat those that we enjoy spending time with kindness, and we are to treat those who we don't so much enjoy spending time with kindness. We are to be kind in those interactions which are fun and enjoyable. We are to be kind in those interactions which are difficult and hard. We are to be kind in those conversations that we like to have, and we are to be kind in those conversations that we have to have. Kindness, again, cannot be compartmentalized if it is going to be characteristic of Spirit-produced kindness. It must affect the whole person. So in every interaction that you have with God's people, you need to be kind. And as the Spirit works in your life, He works in your heart, He is producing that kindness, and you will see it manifested in your relationship with God's people. Fifthly, the Spirit manifests kindness in our interactions with the world. Friends, our world needs to see the kindness of God in your interaction with them. They don't need you to respond to them the way that their fellow unbelievers respond to them. They don't need you to respond to them with impatience and frustration and anger. They need you to respond to them with kindness, even when they're frustrated, impatient, and angry. You remember Romans 2:4. It's God who said it is the kindness of God that leads you to repentance. And friends, as a follower of Jesus Christ, as someone who who has been redeemed by His blood, as someone who is a child of God, you have the privilege of putting on display the character of God's kindness in your interactions with the unbelieving world. It should be that people are coming to Christ because they are experiencing God's kindness through the people of God. As God certainly is being kind and allowing them to breathe and to live and to He extends His common grace to them. But in those specific interactions that you and I get to have with the unbelieving world, that the kindness of God should be beaming from us as a place for them to see what it looks like to be changed by God. You have that opportunity. It's not easy. It's hard. It takes endurance. It takes patience that we talked about last week. It takes trust in a sovereign God working out His purposes. It takes selflessness and sacrifice, because it's probably going to cost you at times if you're going to be kind to people who aren't kind to you. But nonetheless, when the Spirit is producing kindness in the heart of a believer, in the life of a believer, it's going to affect those relationships with the world. They're going to be kind. And finally, number 6, the Spirit manifests kindness in our lives in our interactions with our enemies. In Romans chapter 12, verses 20 and 21, "But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." You know that the Spirit is producing kindness in your life as you interact with those people who hate you, your enemies, and you are able to meet their needs, and you are able to show them love and grace and kindness even when they are hostile towards you. Friends, we know that that's of the Spirit because that's what God did for us, right? We were hostile towards Him. We hated Him. We were fighting against Him. And God, in His kindness, fed us, gave us drink spiritually in Christ, right? He gave us Christ. And now we are saved for all of eternity. He overcame our evil with His good. That's why we have to respond this way as His people. We now belong to Him. We're His children. We're His representatives on this planet. We're His ambassadors. And that's why He indwelled us with the Spirit. And that's why the Spirit produces these fruits in us, so that we will characterize God to one another and to the world, and that we will find great fulfillment in God producing this sort of character in us. It's for His glory and our good. You know, as I've said every time, we don't work to produce these things in ourselves. We don't in some way earn the fruit of the Spirit. We don't produce it. It is God, through His Spirit, producing it in us. It is His gift to us. It is a result of Him converting us and changing us into being the people that He's called us to be. But as we look at these things, these 6 things, these can serve as a gauge for us, as some sort of thermometer for us to see, okay, is this stuff happening? Am I kind like this? Is it affecting my whole person? Is it coming out in my relationships at home? Is it coming out in my generosity towards others? Is it coming out in my relationship with God's people, my relationship with the world, my relationship with my enemies? Am I kind? It's a gauge. And as we see our weaknesses and our failures, because there's going to be a lot of weaknesses and failures, as we're still corrupt in our flesh, we're waiting that day when we're glorified, when we're transformed in the image of Christ for good, and we don't have to deal with sin any longer. But as we do that, we can ask God, God, please cultivate this fruit in my life. Give me opportunities to continue to grow in this. Please, Holy Spirit, produce this in me as I walk in the Spirit, so that I don't gratify the desires of the flesh. As I fill my mind with the Word of God and be immerse myself in its truth and live out that truth as I'm filled with the Spirit, Lord, please produce this in me. And He will. He'll continue to grow His people. He'll continue to extend His kingdom. And you'll find great contentment in the person that God is forming you to be for His glory and your good. And so let's pray to that end, shall we? Father, thank You for Your goodness to us. Thank You for this gift of kindness. Thank You for the fruit of the Spirit that You produce in us. And all of this is a gift from You. We deserve to be cast away from Your presence for all of eternity, but yet You have saved us and made us Your own children, and You are now changing us and conforming us to the image of Your Son and producing these fruits in us, and we're so thankful. Father, I pray that You will continue to produce by Your Spirit kindness in us, that we will be known, we will be characterized as those people who are kind because You have been kind to us. Father, help us to walk in the Spirit, not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Help us to put on Christ and make no provision for the flesh, fulfill its lusts. May we continue to serve You. May we continue to press forward. May we continue to set our minds on things above and not on things of this earth, knowing that You are the one who's going to sustain us. You are the one who's going to keep us. You are the one who's going to continue to produce this fruit in us. And may You do it for Your glory and our good. Lord, we love You and praise You in Christ's name. Amen.